And I almost forgot to introduce our two presenters here, Baldy Bill and Barefoot Mike. Once again, thank you so much. They got a good sense of humor, too.
Before we begin, I'd like to open with a prayer. Somebody had told me that this is an Irish prayer. I don't know if it is or not. I'd rather call it a resentment prayer. So why don't we get quiet and perhaps close our eyes, and I'd like to say this prayer to start. Lord, thank you for the people that have been in my life. May those who love us, may they continue to love us. May those who do not love us, may you turn their hearts. And if you can't turn their hearts, may you turn their ankles so that we may recognize them by their limping.
We warned you Friday night we wouldn't be talking cured this weekend. A prayer to start the day. God, please guide and direct our thinking today. Please divorce our thinking from excitement, fear, anger, worry, foolish decisions, self-pity, and dishonest or self-seeking motives. Please clear our thinking of these wrong motives so our thought lives will be placed on the higher plane of inspiration. Please grant us the power to align our will with your will, for after all, you gave us brains to use. Show us how to pause when we face agitation, doubt, or indecision today. If we're not able to determine which action to take, let us remember to ask you for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. Help us to relax and take it easy and not struggle, knowing that the right answers will come with practice, patience, and diligence. Let us be mindful today that our function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness, and that this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Help us to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And when these crop up, let us ask you at once to remove them. Grant us courage to discuss our defects and shortcomings with someone immediately, and to make amends quickly if we've harmed someone. Let us then turn our thoughts to someone we can help, reminding ourselves that love and tolerance of others is our code. Let us be mindful that if our thoughts and actions are in accordance with your will today, inspiration and intuition will gradually become a working part of our minds. Please show us all through the day what our next steps are to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of any problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and to never put ourselves ahead of other people. Help us to be quick to see where spiritual people are right and to make use of what they offer. Let us constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times throughout this day, "Thy will, not mine, be done." Show us how we can be most efficient today so we don't tire so easily, burning up energy foolishly like we do when we try to arrange life to suit ourselves. We ask for the strength to fit ourselves today so we can be of maximum service to you and our fellow man. A prayer for truth. Today, Creator, I ask you to open my eyes and open my heart so that I can recover the truth about my life. Help me to resist the temptation to believe the lies that repress the expression of my life and my love. Give me the strength to resist the temptation to believe the lies of others that only create emotional poison in my heart. Today, Creator, let me see what is, not what I want to see. Let me hear what is, not what I want to hear. Help me to recover my awareness so that I can see you in everything I perceive with my eyes, with my ears, with all my senses. Let me perceive with eyes of love so that I find you wherever I go and see you in everything you create. Help me to see you in every cell of my body, in every emotion of my mind, in every person I meet. Let me see you in the rain, in the flowers, in the water, in the fire, in the animals, and in the butterflies. You are everywhere, and I am one with you. Let me be aware of this truth. Today, let everything I do and say be an expression of the beauty in my heart. Let me be aware of the beauty and perfection in everything you create, so that I can live in eternal love with you. Thank you, Creator, for the power to create a dream of heaven where everything is possible. Beginning today, I will use the power of my love to create a masterpiece of art, my own life. Amen.
This is called a prayer of tolerance. Higher power, help me to know that the most loving quality I can possess is tolerance. It is the vision that enables me to see things from another's viewpoint. It is a generosity that concedes to others the right to their own opinions and their own peculiarities. It is the bigness that enables me to let people be happy in their own way instead of my way. This is a Native American prayer. O God, great spirit of all the world, whose voice I hear in the winds, and whose breath gives life to all living things, hear me. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever behold the setting sun. Make my hands respect the things that you have made, and make my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise so that I may understand the things you have taught your people. Let me learn the lesson you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength not to be greater than my brothers and sisters, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, and when life fades as the fading sunset, may my spirit come to you without shame.
A prayer for love. Today, Lord, help me to accept myself the way I am, without judgment. Help me to accept my mind the way it is, with all my emotions, my hopes and dreams, and my unique personality. Help me to accept my body the way it is, with all its beauty and perfection. Today, Lord, clean my mind of emotional poison and self-judgment, so that I can live in peace and love. Let the love for myself be so strong that I never again reject myself or sabotage my happiness and personal freedom. Let me love and accept myself without judgment, because when I judge myself, I find myself guilty and then need to punish myself. With the power of self-love, let all my relationships be based on love and respect. Help me to let go of the need to tell others how to think or how to be. Let me accept the people I love just the way they are, without judgment, because when I judge them and blame them, I find them guilty and want to punish them. Help me, Lord, to love everything you create with no conditions, because when I reject your creation, I reject you. Today, Lord, help me to start my life over with the power of self-love. Help me to explore life, to take risks, and to love myself unconditionally. Let me open my heart to the love that is my birthright, so that I can share my love wherever I go. Amen.
If you see what needs to be repaired and how to repair it, then you have found a piece of the world that God has left for you to complete. But if you only see what is wrong and how ugly it is, then it is yourself that needs repair.
This is a piece I wrote called The Bullets of Life. It sometimes seems that life has a tendency to come straight at us like a speeding bullet. The problem is that we think we're the target. We are not the target of life's happenings. We think we are. The truth is that life just happens. The bullets are just random firings. But we think the problems in our lives are like guided missiles headed for a target on our forehead. But if the big book is correct when it says all our troubles are of our own making, then we're the ones that paint the target, and sometimes we go out searching for the bullets. In other instances, we are sleeping when the bullets are fired, and we're not alert enough to move out of the way. When we awaken spiritually, we realize that life is not out to get us. We are just another energy field that the bullets of life pass through. We are not the targets.
This is a quote by Albert Einstein. He has some really beautiful spiritual things that he said. Our technology has surpassed our humanity. What an incredible line. Our technology has surpassed our humanity. A human being is part of a whole called by us, quote-unquote, the universe. A part, limited in time and space. He expresses himself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all life, creature, all living creatures, the whole of nature and its beauty.
The search for serenity. The search is yours and mine. Each finds his way with help, but yet alone. Serenity is the goal. It comes to those who learn to wait and grow, for each can learn to understand himself and say, I found a joy in being me and knowing you, a knowledge of the depths I can descend, a chance to climb the heights above my head. The way is not so easy all the time. Our feet will stumble often as we go. A friend may need to give some extra help, as we once gave to others when in the hour of fear. This is no picnic path that we have found, but yet compared to other days and other times, it seems a better route. We lost our way before in fear, guilt, and resentments held too long. Self-pity had its way with us. We found the perfect alibi for all our faults. We do not know what life may bring from day to day. Tomorrow is a task not yet begun, and we could fail to pass its test. But this will wait. While in today, we do the best we can. Today, we try to grow. Today, we live. We seek to know, to give, to share with you.
This body has lived with father, mother, husband, and all. This body has served the husband, so you may call it a wife. It has prepared dishes for all, so you can call it a cook. It has done all sorts of scrubbing and menial work, so you can call it a servant. But if you look at the thing from another standpoint, you will realize that this body has served none but God. For when I serve my father, mother, husband, and others, I simply consider them as different manifestations of the Almighty and serve them as such. When I sat down to prepare food, I did so as if it were a ritual, for the food cooked was, after all, for God. Whatever I did in the spirit of divine service. Hence, I was not quite worldly, though always engaged in household activities. I had but one ideal, to serve all as God, to do everything for the sake of God. What I thought I'd do is kind of real quickly go through what's in the packet, because there's some really powerful stuff in the packet, which you'll all be expected to memorize, because there's going to be a test. Now, it has a table of contents because it's so extensive. There's no way you'll ever find anything if it doesn't have a table of contents. Page 2, which is the first piece, is prayers in the big book prior to the stories. Then there's a guide that a friend of ours put together on starting the day and doing an evening review out of the big book. Mike just read that prayer to start the day. We outlined, or Mike outlined first, tips on steps 10 and 11 in the big book, which starts on page 5, and then on page 7, tips and principles in steps 10 and 11 in the 12 and 12, and a highlight on that. Then there's an interpretation of the Lord's Prayer, sort of the Lord's Prayer explained or expounded upon. There's just a piece on thoughts on meditation that someone either said or was from a book. There's the halo meditation, which you start your day and end your day with a halo meditation. It's kind of quick and easy. It's been kind of powerful. I had sent that out to a group of people, and they appreciated it. Then there's a prayer for each of the 12 steps. Then there's the first of the different types of personal inventories, sort of 10-step stuff. Besides how it is in the big book in the 12 and 12, we drew out about 4 or 5 pieces that have different ways of taking inventory to see, you know, how am I doing in my spiritual path? How am I doing currently with certain topics and certain spiritual practices, or however you want to word it? And this one has 26 different words and descriptions a little bit afterwards saying, you know, how you're doing in these areas. Then there was an article on step 10 is not just to be done at night. And it talks about the 12 and 12 in the big book and all the different inventories that are mentioned. And the one fact that I thought was kind of interesting is that, you know, most often in the fellowship you hear people say that the 10th step is done at night, but the only nighttime review that's mentioned in the big book is part of the 11th step. And in the 10th step, the moment-by-moment spot check inventory is mentioned 15 times, and the evening review is only mentioned twice. So I've never understood where the 10th step is done at night comes from, because it doesn't really say it in that regard in our literature. And like we had shared, and like I try to pass along to people, is it's a moment-by-moment inventory. And, you know, whether you call your nighttime inventory a 10 or 11, it really doesn't matter for me, as long as you're doing it. You know what I mean? That's kind of how I see it. Then there's the How to Listen to God pamphlet. I got to be honest with you. I've read lots of spiritual literature, and I've listened to lots of spiritual tapes. And this How to Listen to God pamphlet, which was used by early AA, is one of the most powerful pieces of spiritual literature I've ever read. Then there's another sort of inventory process of, it's from the Akron Intergroup News on page 17 in the packet from December 1998. It talks about ways that we get off the beam. It talks about exhaustion, dishonesty, impatience, argumentative, depression, frustration. And there's a list of 16 things that shows whether we've gotten off the beam. There's an article called The Serenity Prayer Way of Life. There's another sort of 10-step way of inventorying called What's Your Score from the 1947 AA Grapevine, which again is, you know, how am I currently doing spiritually? How am I currently doing in working my program and getting results from it? Then there's the actual meditation that's described in the 12 and 12 on how to use the St. Francis Prayer in its entirety from the 12 and 12. There's another little meditation technique called the 6 Steps to Meditation in Motion that talks about exercise and meditating with that as a tool. There's some thoughts and some practices called the Guide to Meditation and Prayer and Guidance that someone we know had put together. That's rather powerful. There's a 7 Minutes with God, How to Plan a Daily Quiet Time, and this includes using the Bible and having a meditation, and it talks about take a half a minute, which is a prayer for guidance, 4 minutes in reading the Bible, 2.5 minutes of prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, and that's your 7 minutes with God. There's the What is Acceptance article that we had read last night that Bill Wilson wrote in 1962 in the Grapevine. There's another 10-step way of inventorying. It's called 8 Questions to Staying on Track. That's another way of inventorying how well are we doing. It talks about who am I recovering for? What am I resisting? What is the lesson here? What am I not doing that needs to be done? Am I losing my energy to this? Whom am I giving my power to? Who's in control? And am I at peace with myself? Then there's a 11-step guidance meeting format for people that perhaps want to start an 11-step meeting. That's followed by more 11-step guidance meeting stuff. Then there's the five-finger prayer. I'm not going to go into that. There's something funny in that, but you'll have to figure it out. You'll notice who gets the middle finger. Sorry about that. Then there's an original third step and seventh step prayer that Dr. Bob used to use. Very powerful stuff. There's the set-aside prayer that very often we start studies with to just have an open mind and a new experience. There's the open mind prayer, which for me is another powerful way of starting something like this, to just have an open mind and a new experience. There's pocket readings for throughout the day, which is just to help with sort of keeping God as we go throughout the day, something to keep in our pocket. At least that's how the original format was. We squeezed everything down here, because if we didn't, there would have been a whole lot more than 35 pages in this packet. There's the Earl M. Memorial Prayer. Earl M. was the gentleman who wrote Doctor Heal Thyself in the Big Book, Physician Heal Thyself in the Big Book, who just recently died, and this was a memorial prayer that he had written that was said at his funeral. I just recently, again, listened to some stuff that he had done that was really powerful. He did this one talk called The Pipeline Talk, and he talks about being a pipeline for God. It's one of the most powerful spiritual talks I've ever heard. There's an Alcoholics Anonymous prayer that starts with each letter of the words Alcoholics and Anonymous. That's actually really cool. There's a little piece on the mind and our thought life. There's a piece called Sadness as a Meditation. You know, hopefully some of the things that we've tried to talk about this weekend, I know Mike did especially, that, we sometimes label things as just, you know, not good, negative, whatever, and it's interesting how that can be used as a spiritual practice, which then gives it power and which then changes how we look at it and changes how it affects our life, which is very, very powerful. Like in the Serenity Prayer, all we got to do is just change our perspective towards certain things, and all of a sudden just everything changes. It's just amazing. It's just that simple. There's a meditation on compassion. There's a really beautiful piece by Ayan Levan Zant called Be Still, which talks of sort of like about meditation. That's really powerful. Here's a cool little inventory for somebody to try. It's called an inventory for those who disturb us. It says, write an inventory of all the things that are good and right about the people that disturb you in your life. Talk about getting a different perspective towards somebody. There's a serenity prayer exercise. There's a third step prayer exercise, a seventh step prayer exercise. Just meditating on each part of those prayers, one part each day. There's spiritual books that give you exercises to do that are really powerful. The last one continues up to the next page. Then there's a little thing that I had recommended to lots of people. It's a piece on Are You Sure? You know, we always think that this is the way it is and this is the only way that it is. And it's just a little thing that you can put either on your mirror or somewhere that you see all the time that says, are you sure? Because sometimes we just have these thoughts in our head and we think we're so sure and there's no way we could ever be sure about most things, you know? Then there's a tip on staying connected that I've been using for years, and that I have a wristwatch that every hour it beeps, and for maybe a minute I just acknowledge God. It's a really great way to just get centered and then get back to my day and acknowledging God throughout the day. It's a little piece on My Way Isn't Working. I'm sure no one here can relate. There's some prayers on how to start guidance. That piece that I read, All for the Sake of God. A really cool piece on A View from Above. A really cool piece on thoughts about death. The law of motive, and then some meditations at the end to consider. And then the last piece, Mike had said to me one day, you know, we're always inventorying negative stuff. I wonder if we could come up with like a gratitude inventory or something like that. And the next day I emailed him with a gratitude inventory. Basically, it's the resentment inventory turned in a positive way. It's the exact resentment inventory out of the Big Book turned into a positive way. It's really kind of cool. In regard to all this stuff, I kind of wanted to share something. You know, I keep talking about that weekend that I went away, or those 10 days that I went away, and there were so many things that came out of it. One of the biggest things that came out of it for me was that I no longer see meditation as a place that I go. I see meditation as a place that I try to come from throughout my day. Like, for a long time, I thought of meditation as sort of a vacation, you know, but then it's like back to reality. And now I kind of see meditation as where I come from, and that life is sort of the vacation that I just go visit every once in a while. And that I try to, instead of go to meditation every once in a while, I try to come from meditation as I go through my day. That life is a meditation if I'm in the here and now. And if I'm, you know, one of the things I like saying to people in emails when I sign off is, you know, don't forget to look for God today. That's a living meditation. So many things we miss and so many ways that we can see a higher power. You know, maybe even starting my day with, you know, Lord, help me to see you today. You know, it's just an amazing thing that, like I said, I always used to see it as kind of a vacation and something that I go to, and now I really see it as where I come from and try to stay in throughout the day.
We read yesterday the 10-step promises. And what I like to think of, well, at least the first line of that paragraph on 84, it says, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. Now, I think it's pretty safe to say in this room, everyone has ceased fighting alcohol. I think that's a safe assumption. Maybe not, but I think so. But what about the other things in our lives? What about some of the external problems that we have? Some of the things that just might be objectionable to us. Some of the things that we're just not able to accept today, which maybe some of the things that we read last night could help us with. And those are some of the outside things. Maybe a death of a family member. Kathy and I got into a car accident last summer. Went through some stuff with that. I got to experience my first bout with depression, which was a real interesting thing. A couple months ago, I sprained my ankle, you know, and I got to experience some stuff with that, some real positive things. But that's still outside stuff. How about the inside stuff within us? We have ceased fighting anyone or anything, including ourselves. Mark H. from Texas says, and it took me a long time to understand this. I just didn't get it when he would say it. Mark says, you cannot defeat your ego. And I didn't get it. I mean, for years I had heard, we must smash our ego. You have to become entirely rid of self. You got to, you know, deflate the ego. Ego deflation at depth, as the 12 and 12 says. And, you know, and we just got so fanatical about this concept of smashing our ego. Some current experience with that is Bill had recently given me an exercise to do. And I still continue to do it, and it's in accordance with my watch beeping every hour. And one of the things I do with that is, dear God, please smash my ego. And I went for a walk in the park one day, and after the walk, I sat on the bench, and my watch beeped. So, you know, I'm like Pavlov's dog now. After a couple days of doing this, watch beep, I do that. It's kind of instinctive. And the thought occurred to me, what violence. God, please smash my ego. And at least for that second, it just occurred to me that that's really violent. You know, like, here I go again thinking that my ego is this bad thing. I can use it incorrectly. It can be labeled as a bad thing. But if I wasn't supposed to have an ego, then I don't think the Creator would have gave it to me at birth. That's part of my humanness. It's like what Bill W. talks about in the 12 and 12, and I believe it comes under step 4, about instincts gone astray. And we misuse our natural and God-giving instincts. But they are God-given, and surely they must be good. But we're the ones that misuse them, and they get out of hand and such. So I begin to get a sense of what Mark talked about with you cannot defeat your ego. What I've learned to do is just watch the ego manifest. Just watch it. Let it do its thing. You know? One of the manifestations of ego for me is anger, especially when I don't get my own way. And then that can go into self-pity. But there are often many, and I don't do this perfectly, I was going to say I wish I did. I'm glad I don't. But there are times throughout this day where, and it happened this morning, I will literally experience anger well up in me. And I see it, and I recognize it. And I'm able to say something like, that's interesting, anger's here. But I am not angry. Anger's present, but I don't become the anger. And it's such a new way to live. I couldn't do this stuff before the 12 steps, particularly steps 10 and 11. And this stuff has taken years, years and years. Well, I haven't been sober years and years and years, but to me it seems like years and years and years sometimes. You know, we have human emotions. Happiness, sadness, gladness, mad. They're human emotions. Don't fight them. But you don't have to attach to them either. See, it's when I attach to my emotions and I think I am the emotion. I become the sadness. That piece on sadness in the packet that Bill talked about, it talks about experiencing your sadness, but you don't have to be the sadness. And I think there's a real fine line between the two. I'm a human being with human emotions. I'm going to experience these human emotions. For me to want to do anything less is not human. And I really think I'm perpetuating violence upon myself. I wish I knew where all that came from.
Along those lines, something that struck me not too long ago was that if I believe that God created everything, then God created the ego too. Which is kind of an interesting thought. And Father Ed Dowling, which was Bill Wilson's second spiritual advisor, he said at one of our international conventions that if any of us make it into heaven, it's simply because we are backing out of hell. And to be honest with you, in looking at perhaps the fact that God created the ego, what I started seeing was that in nature, there's always these opposites. You know, cold air, hot air, it creates this, you know, when it comes to growth and change, so to speak, there's always these opposites that are pushing each other. And that it's almost like the ego is sort of the opposite, and that it can be looked at as negative or bad, but the ego has brought me to a point where I hit bottom and was willing to consider another way besides my own. That the ego, as I see it, is used sort of by God to change the direction that I'm going in to then seek Him a whole lot more than if I didn't have this sort of opposite. You know, it's almost like the magnet, you know, that the opposites bring about growth, and that the negative, quote-unquote, which I hope we've conveyed, you know, good or bad. You know, Shakespeare said, you know, there is no good or bad, but thinking makes it so. That those things that had happened to me had brought me to a point where I landed on my knees and I hit my bottom and I change the direction I was heading in to go in the opposite direction, more of along the lines of what I think my higher power always wanted for me. But I needed to go through that in order to hit bottom to then reverse the direction that I was heading in. All right, we're going to do a closing St. Francis prayer meditation exercise with you guys. So, what we're going to do is basically come into meditation, and we're going to read each of the lines from the St. Francis prayer meditation, or from the St. Francis prayer. We're going to read a line and just pause for about 2 minutes. And let's meditate on each one of these lines and try to internalize it. This is one of the reasons why the homework was the way it was. So familiarize, that's on tape. To familiarize ourselves with this incredible prayer and to perhaps think about what this prayer is saying. Because for me, this prayer is an advanced way of life that's very foreign to me for a very long time. And the beauty and the simplicity and the power of this prayer is just unfathomable in the depth. But it also speaks to us at whatever level we're at, which I think is the beauty of spirituality in this program. So why don't we get comfortable, because this is going to take about a half hour. We purposely waited to do this and give you some other meditations to get a little bit more comfortable, but perhaps sitting still for a while, and this one's going to be the longer one. And again, you know, if you got a scratch, itch it. You know, this isn't so rigid. And let's close our eyes and get comfortable. Let's again take 4 or 5 very deep diaphragmatic breaths. And perhaps try to settle our body and settle our mind to just be here and now. And as we go through this, perhaps consider the areas of our life that we are practicing what each of these lines say, but also look at the parts of our life that perhaps we're not practicing it, and consider what our life would be like if we were. Lord, make me a channel of your peace.
that where there is hatred, I may bring love.
That where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. What would that look like in my home? What would that look like in traffic or on the road? Standing in line on the supermarket. past stuff with our families. At our home group.
That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. And may I do that in a compassionate and considerate way. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith.
that where there is despair, I may bring hope.
That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted.
To understand rather than to be understood.
To love rather than to be loved.
or it is by self-forgetting that one finds.
It is by forgiving that one is forgiven.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. Perhaps dying a little bit more to the ego. In awakening a little bit more to that part within us that is of God.
Amen. How'd you guys enjoy that? How'd you guys enjoy this weekend? Me too. In closing, while I wait for Bill to get back from the men's room. No, it was totally not planned. Neither was most of this weekend. I want to just thank each and every one of you for being here for me. I heard a man say recently that during times like this, gatherings like this, weekends like this, what we have is a dialogue with each other. It may seem externally that Bill and I, for the most part, have been talking with you. But really, it's been a two-way communication. You guys have been talking with us, too. Of course, during the breaks and stuff. But during the sessions and while we've been in meditation, I think there's been a constant dialogue that's been going back and forth. I don't think we've could have done and said some of the things that we've said this weekend without your permission. Some people call that spiritual license. I think this weekend it's been permission has been given through the unspoken word. And I think it's a really neat thing. And the unspoken dialogues that have gone on this weekend has been just phenomenal. It's been a really transformative process for me. I want to let you know that a lot of you in this room, I do know you and I know you personally. And some of you, I don't know you that well, but after this weekend, I know you a little bit better, and hopefully you've gotten to know us a little bit better. I want to know you more, because I want to know me a little more. And I want to know this thing we call God a little more, and more, and more, and more. Because after all, I am alcoholic, and more is better. And I love you all very, very much. Thank you.
This is from Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers on page 136. It's talking about the early days of AA. It says, the AA members of that time did not consider meetings necessary to maintain sobriety. They were simply desirable, quote unquote. Morning devotion and quiet time, however, were musts. Now, with that quote, I'm not suggesting that meetings aren't important. But what I am suggesting is that meetings are as important as, or meditation and quiet time are as important as meetings. And is described there as musts. There's two things that I wanted to close with. Both of them are near and dear to my heart, and the last piece contains the essence of my faith and the essence of my concept of a higher power. The first one is something that I always like closing, or I often like closing when I tell my story, and this is called a reflection on prayer. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. I was given illness that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have people's praise. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayer was answered. I am among all people most richly blessed.
And like I said, this last thing for me contains the essence of my faith. This is from A Course in Miracles, which is a book that has been a large part of my spirituality. And the line goes like this. And I'm going to read it twice because it's really heavy. It says, "What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good?" Thank you for this incredible weekend. I still feel like singing the Mickey Mouse song. Please drive safely home. A few of you have shared with me something that truly warms my heart, and that's that something has been stirred up inside of you to either get back to or to get to doing certain practices. It's interesting because after we've been in AA for a little while, knowing what to do isn't the problem. The willingness and the power to do it is the problem. Like I had said earlier, there's only one thing more difficult than not doing all of this work, and that's not doing all this work.
Like I said, more is better. I believe I opened with this Friday night. And sometimes I like to close with this too, because it's really neat to see how my perspective change throughout a weekend like this. A beggar had been sitting by the side of the road for over 30 years. One day a stranger walked by. "Spare some change?" mumbled the beggar, mechanically holding out his old baseball cap. "I have nothing to give you," said the stranger. Then he asked, "What's that you are sitting on?" "Nothing," replied the beggar, "just an old box. I have been sitting on it for as long as I can remember." "Ever looked inside?" asked the stranger. "No," said the beggar. "What's the point? There's nothing in there." "Have a look inside," insisted the stranger. The beggar managed to pry open the lid. With astonishment, disbelief, and elation, he saw that the box was filled with gold. This weekend, Bill and I have been the strangers who have nothing to give you, and who is telling you to look inside. Not inside any box, as in this parable, but somewhere even closer. Inside yourself. Now, as Nike says, just do it.